This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday edition of Busted Open here on the podcast edition of Busted Open. I'm Ryan McKinnell in for Dave LaGreca. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, with me here on this Friday, and we are diving into the news of the last 24 hours in the pro wrestling world. More releases from WWE. How many more can we expect, and what does it mean for the future of the company? We dive into that with Mark here on this episode. And speaking of diving in, we dive in with one of the true legends of the professional wrestling business is Gerald Briscoe stops by to share some stories that, well, you can only hear here on a Friday edition of Busted Open. So let's get it going. Click play, relax, sit back. Let's get it going. It's Busted Open on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. WWE announcing another round of cuts. That's right, another round of cuts courtesy of the WWE, and some of the names include, I know you know this, Mark, but I'm reading out the names for maybe some of the nation that missed it. John Morrison, gone. Top Dollar, Ashante Adonis, and Isaiah Swerve Scott, gone. That's Hit Row, in case you didn't know. Hit Row, no longer Hit Row. Tegan Knox, gone. Drake Maverick, gone. Shane Thorne, gone. Jackson Ryker, gone. Mark, I don't even know where we start with this. It's just kind of another head-shaking moment, especially, Mark, the week of a pay-per-view, which in terms of that, we'll get to that, what that might mean and why the WWE chose to do this so close to one of their big four pay-per-views. But just on the surface, another round of cuts, another group of talented performers looking for more work, which I'm sure in this era that we're talking about of professional wrestling, it will eventually come. But sad day nonetheless, Mark.
You know, it's a sad day if you allow it to be. You know, like, I think that the getting up and putting your right foot forward, your best foot forward under adversity is a plus. And we talked about this before the show started. Like, it's you find out a lot about somebody. You find out about the character when it's raining. You know, when you're deep in the darkness and the trouble, when it's bright and sunny and everything's all good, you can't tell somebody's character. You just see the representative. But now we get to see people stand up and be real and bounce back and have some resiliency in your focus and getting back to work. Because the work really never stops. It really never stops. Anybody driving right now, doing the laundry, cleaning, working, whatever you're doing, you know the work never stops. It never stops. You know what? I'm gonna tell you I talk about my favorite coach all the time, Rip Rogers.
Yes, you do.
Rip Rogers used to say, and Pastor, I'm sorry because I am quoting Rip Rogers. So,
I thought it was only the weekend cussing we had to worry about.
No, Pastor, he owned me. He owned me. Okay. He said, Mark, you better than that. Your vocabulary is too it's too vast. You have other words to describe. I can't. I'm sorry. This is a Rip Rogers original. Be over fucking prepared. If it can come, it will come. And that is the God's the honest truth. And all of these guys and girls that, it, what is it, 177, 178 people now?
Oh, I don't, I just know from
the tally,
Mark,
the tally
from the
is high.
Start of the new year. Yes, from the start of the new year, it's been 80. But if you go back to, I go back to like when this really started coming down and the cuts started coming hard and heavy, I think back to like Renee Young even. Like, when I heard Renee got cut, I was like, Renee. Like, the ultra-talented Renee Young. And this was like a year and a half ago, right? But it's just been like an avalanche since then, Mark, if it is 150, 160, 170, it wouldn't surprise me. It's a lot of talent and a lot of wrestlers that have been procured by WWE, right? And then subsequently dumped within, you know, take your pick of months, years, whatever the case may be.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of people, right. But you're going to find out the talent of these people. You talk about Renee Young. Unbelievably talented.
No question.
Drake Maverick. Like, just wrestling, minimal in his repertoire of talents. He can produce. He can direct. He can write. The dude is, I mean, like, unbelievably creative. He's somebody that you talk to about making strategic moves. Like, he's a preemptive striker in his wrestling and in philosophy. And you don't always think about that. Like, who's the smart guys, Mark? Oh, name. You start Daniel Bryan, Glenn Jacobs.
Oh, sure.
You start, you know, and then you work your way to – there are some really – I mean, like, Ivy League smart people that have multiple talents. They do IT. I mean, it's so much that they could do. Why not, before you fire them, how about tap into some of that? And I think that those men and women they'll bounce back and they'll use all the skills they have. That's what you learn when one thing goes away. Because my physical prowess has gone away. I'm not the strongest man in the world anymore. Once upon a time, man, I walked around this planet bulletproof. I had to use my brain when my body went away. And every last one of them will tap into that. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Drake Maverick, because formerly in another life, Mr. Rockstar Spud, now Drake Maverick, whatever you want to call him, right? This was a man who was living this story just a few months ago, right? Drake Maverick was a part of releases. I think, as most of us know, he released a video, an immediate reaction video at the time of his initial release all those months ago. He was distraught, understandably so. He was emotionally raw, a raw nerve on video, showing and telling the world what he was feeling and what he was going through. And subsequently, Mark, that video actually got him rehired. That emotion that he showed, the support that he got from the professional wrestling world, it played well for him. It allowed him to continue his career in the WWE. Mark, that career, at least for the time being, ended last night when he was released. But Drake Maverick, learning from his past, learning that nothing lasts forever, especially in the WWE. Mark, you saw this video before the show started. I've seen this video. Nation, I hope you've seen this video. If you haven't seen this video, it's too long for us to play. Okay, it's like 4 minutes long. But trust when I say it's one of the best, most creative pieces of content that I can remember in recent memory, Mark. Drake Maverick released a video last night, 10 minutes after, something like that, like 10 minutes after his release, essentially setting up the next chapter. Whatever is going to happen in his professional wrestling life, he set up the next chapter and played on his release. I don't like want to give it away. It's just this ultra creative video acknowledging the release and setting up what is next. It's highly produced. He clearly, Mark, had that on deck. He was ready for the next time he was going to be released, and he's making it work for him. For me, not just a blueprint in like how to carry yourself as a worker and how to set yourself up for the future, but Mark, a blueprint in how to be a man, how to be a human being, how to be a successful person and have a successful mindset and how to plan for the future. I know you love
and how to stand up. He said that multiple times. Stand up. Why is your head down? You're a success. Levels of success is different for everybody. I have a friend in a wheelchair that couldn't walk. Now he can stand and put his hands on the basin and brush his teeth itself. Fucking success. That's success. He didn't win $1 million. He stood up. And I don't want to get on here and preach this morning because I'm fired up because I know what failure is. I know what success is. I've had them both. And I think everybody listening with ears right now has had them both. Some people are born with failure and then they rise. Some people are born with success and then they fall. But either way, when that adversity comes, you have got to stand your ass up, figure out what you're good at, and go. And go. And in this business that I love so much, I see it on both sides. I've had to dish it out. But I never have dished it out without saying, hey, what about your other gifts? What about your other talents? And if you're still passionate about this one, stand up. Be like, find out what's your weakness. Fix it. Come back better the next time. And that talk has to be made. But it seems like we're having that talk an awful lot. And
yeah.
I don't think that it's the end of it. I just don't think that it's over. This is something that we're going to persevere through. We're going to fight everything. But all of these talents have the ability to get back out there. They're going to get booked. Everybody that we mentioned is going to get booked because they're good at what they do.
Hey, everyone. Lindsay Rhodes here. And if you love football, you're going to love my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. With episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we cover every NFL angle and talk to guests from across the NFL world, Hall of Famers, analytics nerds, and I say that lovingly as someone who wants to be an analytics nerd very badly, fantasy football experts, all of it. They're discussions you're not going to find anywhere else. So please, subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
A true legend. You can now hear him as he's a host of the Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. You know him. He needs no introduction. It is Gerald Briscoe joining us on a False Count Anywhere Friday. How you doing, Gerald?
Oh, man, I couldn't be better. Just hearing the name Mark Henry, if that don't bring a smile on your face, nothing will. You're a miserable human being if Mark Henry cannot entertain you and bring a smile to your face. I love this man. He's my son. Mark and I formed a special bond. You know, being an athlete, growing up in an athlete, and you learn real quick to look around and see what a man has got in his bag and what he's carrying. I'm old school, and I started wrestling when I was 7 years old. I always had that. Wrestlers always have this habit of you see somebody, you kind of side them up. Well, you know, that's good. But you got to grab a hold of. Brother, you know, I grabbed a hold from the Brock Lesnar, the Kurt Angles, the Andre the Giants, all those guys, you know, I've had the privilege of grabbing a hold of. I grabbed a hold of Mark Henry. Right away, something clicked in my mind. Briscoe, this is not a guy that you want to play with too much. You can play with him a little bit because Mark likes that, but there's a limit that you know up here you better not take.
Yeah, no, I mess with you, man, but I only do it because we're like, 1,500 miles away. Like, I mess with you a whole lot less when we're face-to-face. And I would imagine a lot of people have learned that lesson. But to Gerald's point, no, Gerald, you're not wrong, man. Mark Henry makes it very easy to get excited, to get happy, to hang out for 3 hours and talk professional wrestling. Gerald, you just said it. You have a very special relationship with Mark. You've known him for decades. I just got to ask you, like, favorite Mark Henry stories? I love hearing, like, from back in the day, from, like, stories about my buddy, because I've only known Mark for a few years. I've got a couple stories, but you got all the stories, Gerald Briscoe. What's a favorite Mark Henry memory that you got in your banks there?
Well, you know, Mark is a very prideful man. I heard all the training stories. He and him, Brock, of course, were, you know, training together out in the Ohio Valley. And so, you know, Brock coming in national champion, Mark being an Olympian and all this, world's strongest man. And so, you know, both of those guys are competitive as hell. And they both looked at each other and looked at each other across the ring. And I heard this story from some of the other guys that was there. And you just knew one day that these two bulls were going to lock horns. And, you know, one day they did. One day they locked up. And, you know, Brock being a national champion, Brock, you know, a big, strong dude, too, obviously. And from what I heard, Brock would shoot in. And Mark was the only guy in that camp that could block Brock from getting a takedown. Sheldon Benjamin was there. All kinds of studs were there. But Mark was the man. So I remember when we finally got the call up, Mark Henry called up. We were in some little town. I forgot where it was. But you know, I walk in the dressing room. I talk to Mark. So, you know, I go in, and Mark had, you know, we'd never really met each other, but we'd heard about each other. So, you know, I'm like I said, as an athlete, I wanted to lock up the guy, but I was scared to death lock up. But he stood up, you know, and here's this giant of a man. So, I just started talking trash to him. And here's this old man talking trash to Olympia. And everybody's kind of looking. I think Mark kind of got hit by it. Well, I don't know if this guy's crazy enough to take me, but probably he is. So, you know, there was always that kind of standoffish, you know, that we wouldn't really lock up. Then one day, you know, we're both in a good mood. I just go for it, Briscoe, and see what the guys carry. You know, and I locked up with him. And like I said, as soon as I locked up with him, man, that neck out to here. And have you ever grabbed his tricep? Brother,
yeah, no, it's stone.
It's like grabbing an 18-wheeler going 70 miles an hour down the highway.
Like brick, I knew brick right and stone, then, Gerald.
I knew right there in my old Oklahoma feeble mind that this is somebody. So I said, Mark, you're a Briscoe boy now. That's the name I give all my guys I recruit from college at wrestling. They're all Briscoe boys. I all love him. They're all great athletes. But Mark, you can always tell Mark had that something special. There's some funny stories too. I mean, the pride, you know, we did a stunt. I think it was in your hometown of Houston where Mark was going to turn his car over. And, you know, we wanted a gimmick. Mark said, you ain't going to give me this car in my hometown. You know, and so we, of course we did rehearsal. Mark was trying all day long, man, to turn that car over without a gimmick turning it over for him. So, it comes showtime. We said, Mark, we're going to have to hook that gimmick up. And he said, No, you're not. He'd tell him, Bruce Pritchard, I think. Well, no, you're not. And so, we can't screw this up. This is really a stepping stone for you to elevate yourself. So, Mark, you know, and this just shows you what kind of mind that, and what positivity can do to a body and to your strength. So that countdown comes, the music hit, Mark introduced Mark. Mark's on the feet of strength. He's going to turn. Now, we don't have that damn car gimmick. Mark goes over there. He pushes one time, and JR and everybody's, you know, commentating, trying to give it a description. Well, he can't do it. Mark steps back. You can see that determination. He takes that step that he does, and, you know, rolls that shoulder over and rolls that other take. I can say, he hooks on that car, ball on that car. He lifts and lifts. You can think he got in his gut. He picked that thing up and tipped. You should have heard that crowd at that Coliseum we were at in Texas. It was like, oh, we knew right there, man, this guy is a beast, man. But I love him. I mean, he took so much ribbon. If you could imagine anybody ribbing a 400-pound monster like Mark Henry, but Mark took it with the greatest salt. He's small, comfortable, brother. You knew if you rib Mark Henry, you were going to get a rib back, and he was one of the master men. Everybody talks about Ornhart, Mr. Perfect, but that guy sat right there. He was one of the most entertaining guys that we had at backstage in the business, and everybody loved him. Man, it's a pleasure, my brother, to be on here with you.
Dad, I sure appreciate all the kind words. You do something that on a day-to-day, on a week-to-week basis that I wish I could do, is you get to have a conversation with Bradshaw, and y'all tell stories.
You can have him. You can have him.
He said, you can have him. But tell us about how this podcast came to be.
Oh, yeah, Mark, thanks for asking that question. As you know, JBL is one of those entertaining guys back there, and John kind of gets categorized in this category of being a bully and all that, but he's one of the most kind-hearted guys that you can ever come across, right? I mean, the stuff that he did for rugby, he moved over to the island of Bermuda. He started a rugby league there, and he actually had guys start from their kids. And now these guys are playing Division One college rugby. Now he's gone into Memphis with the inner city kids there, and he does fundraising. He bought over 500 computers last year for these inner city kids, when everybody was trying to do virtual learning and not all these kids had access to computers and everything. Well, this club that he formed, he made sure through his fundraising ability that everybody had a computer. Everybody were on equal basis. And not only did they have a computer, but they had people there that could instruct them on how to use it. So John is just a wonderful person, and we're both very positive people. And once you get to know John and know his kind heart, but we started out during the pandemic when everybody was, locked in at home. Well, I started doing that goofy little road story with Briscoe, and I'd tell these stories, but I would never tell anything negative because I'm not a negative person. I don't like to live that lifestyle. I don't like to run from people when you talk negative about them. And JBL's the same way. Well, I ran out of stuff, so I started this other deal, Briscoe's big announcement. And it was all based on fun stuff, on enjoyment. Trying to put a smile on people's faces was all we were trying to do. JBL was doing the same thing. And, of course, it kind of ran its course, and we're kind of looking at it. So one day I get a call from John. He said, hey, we're both doing the same thing. We're both really doing the similar. Let's do a show together. So we just said, okay, let's do it. So we kind of set the groundwork, Hey, we're not out here. I hate shooting. When they say a shoot interview, man, Mark knows if you're going to shoot with somebody, to me, that's physical. That's not verbal. If I got an issue with somebody, it's to their face. It's not hiding behind a camera somewhere. Yes, and sir. So I hate that term, shoot interview. Hello, we right away, we're not going to do shoot interview. We're going to tell the little logo that we got, a pickup truck driving through West Texas, with a little country music playing. We want you to feel like you're in the back seat of the car or sitting in a dressing room next to Mark Henry and telling these stories backstage that entertain the guys. And not only the legendary stories, but the legends who made those legendary stories are telling the stories. So we just have a good time. It's our conversation. Just like we're having now, it's not question and answer yet, but we'll get to questions and answer because I know there's a lot of people have the questions out there. But right now, we just want to bring to you the great road stories that Mark grew up hearing because we go back to Stan Hansen. We go back to Freebird when Freebird with Michael Hayes was doing a moonwalk and he moonwalked into one of these big rotating fans, There went as not only did X-Pac get his ponytail, but the big fan of Texas got his ponytail also.
Oh, my God.
We just tell the funny stories, and we let the legends tell those stories.
Dad, I got the honor and the privilege to be with you a few months ago, and I had never met Thunderbolt Patterson. And I got a chance to meet him, and you started telling me all of these stories with y'all traveling the road. And I feel like that's the best part of pro wrestling when you retire from the business is to be able to sit with the elders and sit with the guys that paved the road for you and hear like the fun of the business. And I hope y'all keep doing that. Like you told me a story about Thunderbolt when y'all got pulled over by the cops. Can you tell that story, please? Because the world needs to know that.
I'll tell a cleaned up story about that.
The clean version.
And you don't know what a thrill it was for me. I mean, Thunderbolt Patterson and I, we're going back to, right, 1969, 1970. We're in North Carolina. We're the racial tension. The schools are still fighting to become integrated. My wife actually got a job at the first integrated school in Charlotte, North Carolina, and taught there. But Jim Crockett Sr. teamed Thunderbolt and I up. It was the first interracial tag team. Well, I'm Native American, so I never consider myself a white guy. I grew up in Oklahoma.
Happy Heritage Month.
Thank you. And I'm very prideful of that. But, if you were a part Native American at that time, you know, you were called names. And I grew up, in a real rural town. And I would see the signs that Marks people had seen. No alcohol sold to Indians. Well, of course, I wasn't old enough to drink, but that sign always offended me. I always wanted to go back there after I turned the right age and walk in at the place and say, okay, tell me you're not going to serve me, you know. But I grew up in that deal. So. But I'm sorry, I forgot what the question was.
About the you and Thunderbolt.
Oh, Thunderbolt. So anyway, we became partners at, you know, in the summertime, Jim Crockett Sr. would run all these little, what we called spot shows back in the day, where you just run them once a month, run them during the summertime. So we go into these little towns. I never will forget, we're driving into this one city. There's a big sign there, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. It said, welcome to North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, home of the KKK. And wow. Ku Klux Klan. And so Thunderbolt looked at me, kind of elbowed me. He said, I know who's going into 7-Eleven. I said, Thunderbolt, you just saying that because you don't want to buy the booze tonight. You want to buy the beer tonight. So anyway, about 3 days later, we're going to Richmond, Virginia. We started making some money. So Thunderbolt goes and buys him a new Eldorado Cadillac. Brother, it's black on black on black. And man, Thunderbolt liked to push that gas pedal. So we're whizzing up the road there to Virginia, where the hell we're going. We're up by Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going about 85 mile an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone, and there's speed traps all over the South, as everybody knows. All and probably all over the North and everywhere. But we happen to hit one of those speed traps. So Bolt is driving now. He just got to, it's got dealer plates on you, mind you. Here's this black man and this Indian guy kid sitting next to him, and here comes this big old Bubba police officer up, Thunderbolt hits the button. And back then, automatic roll down windows was an extra, everything was an extra. All these things that you get now for Sandra was an accessory. Thunderbolt rolls it down. That cop kind of steps back, looks in there, sees me, sees Bolt. He looks at that car. He said, where's your license, registration? You got a dealer tag. Well, I just picked up the car. I don't have all that stuff with me. I got my driver's license with me. He pulls it out. Of course, his name is Claude Patterson, and not Thunderbolt Patterson on the driver's license, Claude Patterson. Well, Mr. Patterson, you don't have any proof of ownership of this car. I'm going to have to ask you guys to get out and go sit in the back of my car. Bolt said, I just bought the car, officer. You can call the dealership. Well, no. So he takes the keys, sets us in the back car, takes us to the police station, mind you, because here's a black man driving a brand new Eldorado with a dealer tag on. And now I'm getting a feeling, because Thunderbolt and I would talk about racial issues all the time, growing up in Oklahoma, being a Native American and him a black man. We had some similar stories. So they get us to the police station. So we call the promoter. Hey, we're locked up. He said, run over to the airport when you get through and get a plane and you make it up, because we had a sellout crowd in Richmond, Virginia. That's where we're going. So we go to the airport. All of a sudden, down lands this black Learjet comes in, and it pulls right up to our terminal. And we're thinking, man, Mr. Murdoch treated us awesome, man. So out the door opened to this big Learjet. All of a sudden, now we didn't know they expect this. The door pops open. All of a sudden, these three beautiful ladies walk out of the airplane, and we're kind of elbowing each other, looking at each other. And right behind it is this dude in a full-length white meat coat with this hat on. It's the godfather of Soul, James Brown. Well, both Thunderbolt and I are just going crazy. Jade Brown walks over with his ladies. All of a sudden, he looks out of the corner of his eyes. He spots Thunderbolt. He comes running with Thunderbolt Patterson, Daryl Britsky, a guy, a huge wrestling fan. What do you got? Well, we told him the whole story. The cop took Thunderbolt's new. He said, hell, I'll get in the plane, have my pilot fly you guys up to Richmond. No, we got a plane coming in. Of course, here comes one of those little puddle jumpers up for me and Boat get it. Boat's almost embarrassed to get on the plane, but we made the town. It took Boat 10 days through a lot of even political work for him to get his own Eldorado back. And that's just some of the stuff that we went through. But it was so great to see Thunderbolt, a dear friend of mine, old friend of mine, and Mark Henry sitting in the hotel and Mark leaning up. I mean, they were almost nose to nose. Mark just listened to the stories that Thunderbolt was sharing.
Man, cool. Just warmed my heart, man. And them meeting James Brown. I just wanted you to know that, Ryan. Like, that was an unbelievable story. And that's the wrestling business. Like,
yeah,
the stuff that happens just in a matter of fact, sometimes it's greater than the wrestling.
A story, Gerald Briscoe, that I am slowly learning as I become more and more a part of this special world. I can't imagine the amount of stories that you have in store for your listeners. I could listen to them all day. That was obviously, I mean, it doesn't get much better than the king himself, James Brown. That was awesome. Gerald Briscoe, for anybody that wants to listen, which I imagine is ample, that is Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it wherever you digest your podcast. Gerald, man, I'm sorry we only had a half an hour. I feel like we could have went 4 hours. I appreciate everything you've given to this business, man, and I love hearing your stories. I can't wait to hear more from it on that show you got with JBL, man.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producers are Gabby LaSpisa and Josh Friedman. Sound designed by Neri Bailon. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM's senior vice president of sports programming and podcasting, Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation program director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.